Amen. The Safe House Church podcast, all you gotta do is go to 1010. That's 1010. You put in 1010 Bible study, and you'll see my face pop up. And you should be able to select that. And then from every week that we download these podcasts, that they will be there available for you to listen to. Amen. Free of charge. The podcasts are free. We do not charge for them. Amen. You'll see right now, I think about 800 different episodes that are there. So you have plenty to choose from. And you can always get the latest and the greatest that's going on from here. Amen. I think one more announcement. Remember on Monday, the women's, they have the women's Bible study. That's every single Monday from 7 p.m. The women are there at the Safe House Church. The women at the well, amen, for they are doing well. So I just want to remind you of that. So on this morning, I'm going to go ahead and get into what I believe God has given me to speak with you on, giving you some background and a little bit. And I feel like, you know, this morning I have more of a teaching anointing on me because I want to make sure that people get this and people understand what I am saying. One of the things, you know, I always struggled early on in my ministry trying to figure out, you know, really who I was. You know I was not a singer, amen. I know I was not a hooper, amen. I know I don't dance well and all these other things. But one thing that God always did, you know, that he gave me and I knew I did is that I had the ability to think very well. God gave me the ability to be able to research, and he gave me the ability to be able to put things together and be able to put talks together and being able to articulate very tough subjects to people and being able to teach them in such a way that even children can understand. As part of my gift of teaching, and as I learned that and I went forward with that, it took a while because, you know, I grew up that teaching was not a glamorous thing. And even to this day, you know, you have people now, you know, how they treat teachers in this country. But it's teachers who are the talks about like this, you know, that a pastor must be what? He must be apt to teach. He didn't say he had to be the greatest preacher in the world, but he must have some administration skills, and he could be able to teach. Why? Because the evangelists, they'll get them in the church. The evangelists would bring them, but, you know, and get them saved. But teaching is what keeps you. Amen. You get saved at that one moment. Now you're out of that water. And remember, I often tell you all, I think about being saved like jumping in the swimming pool and somebody comes in there and they throw your life raft and they pull you out of there. How do you get yourself in a position that you're going to jump back into that pool? Well, the reason you probably got in that pool to begin with is because, you, number one, either you didn't know any better or you overestimated your ability to be able to swim and save yourself. Oh, come on, somebody. Or that you were just ignorant to them. And many times we find as believers that we are ignorant to Satan's devices. You know, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman, right? So this is why we have to study. And study is just more than just reading your Bible. I know some say, Pastor, I open my Bible and I read my Bible every day. But just reading it ain't studying. Oh, come on, somebody. See, reading it is okay. See, reading it is just like, you know, I read a book this week. I read a book by Rick Ross this week. It was very interesting. It was a very good book, actually. And you know, so I read, you know, I read some things sometimes for leisure. I read things for information. I read things to be inspired. And you can just read something, but it's a difference between something to read something and study something. I remember early on this week, my daughter asked me, she said, Daddy, what does it mean to study? Because she was trying to prepare for a test, and she was calling herself studying, and she was asking me as her father, said, Dad, how do I study? And she was talking about, well, you know, and see, the thing is, when you talk about study, I believe study is this. You change the mode in which you move. You change the mode in which you move. Now, so study is more of a mental thing than I think it is a physical thing. Now, this is healing 101. You can take it for whatever you believe it's worth. Amen. So when I read something, I'm reading something what? Because I'm trying to get through the material. I'm just trying to understand maybe whatever it is they were saying, trying to get whatever information they were trying to give to me. I'm just trying to pull that material in. But when I study, my whole mindset is shifted. I'm not going through the material to hurry up and get through it as fast as possible. I'm not going through the material to try to understand what it's talking about. What I'm trying to do is pull out the nuances of the words. Why did the author choose the word that they chose? Why did this happen? What is the background setting? What is the time and the place? Why does this make sense for him to make this argument? Or why does it not make sense? Does it follow through? What is the flow? I'm looking at all these things. I'm asking the and who, what, where, and how, and why, and how much on each and every piece. I am critical about the text. I am critical about what I'm in. And I'm pulling myself in. So if you ever been to one of our Bible studies, you'll find out that it takes us sometimes months, 2-3 months to get through a book. Or, and in some cases, even 6 months. I think we've been on the book of Acts now almost 2-4 months. Why? Because we're being critical. So you'll see me and that we study, I stop and we'll go through and we explain things. We're not in a rush. See, sometimes, you know, we get in a rush because we want to hurry God. We want to hurry up and get what it is. But when you are studying, this is why it takes so long. I can study 8-9 hours sometimes and give you a 20-minute message. And it takes that much. Why? Because I have to filter through some of this stuff. I have to filter through some of the junk. This is why us, when I say even praying 20 minutes is really not enough. Because look, the first 10 minutes, you're spinning, filtering through stuff. You know, I think about when we come in church, I came in this morning, I was a little tired, but by the song, the third song, I was really starting to feel pretty good, but I knew we couldn't keep going because now people are getting tired on the other end. Do you see what I'm saying? So, you know, it's kind of like you have to get warmed up. You have to kind of get prepped. And study is the same way that you have to prep your mind. My mindset is different when I study than versus when I'm just reading. Because when I'm just reading, like I said, I'm just reading to get information. But when I'm studying, I'm trying to extract from the text. I'm trying to pull out from the text. I'm trying to be critical of the text. I'm trying to decipher the text in such a way. As the Bible said, rightly dividing the word of God. And when he says rightly, that means what? There must be a way that wrongly dividing the word of God. So with that, we've been going through money, and I was thinking to myself, like, Lord, how am I going to get 4 messages through money? And then the first thing I realized, well, I wasn't going to get anything. That was he that was giving to me. So I had to correct myself that, okay, God, what are you giving me to give your people? And you know, and I told you the first couple weeks, I said, I'm not asking you for any money. And that's still going to be true today. I'm not going to ask you. But my job is what? To inform you. And I believe that we're in a day and time now where we have to get back to our roots. We have to get back to our roots, our beginnings. So if you look, especially for people of color in the African-American church, that what? The church was a place of knowledge. The church was a place of truth. The church was a place of understanding. The church was a place where people not only socialized, but they also came here to strategize. They came together to what? To form coalitions and things. And this is how our communities were changed. And this is how our children were better. This is how our colleges were built and how our colleges were started. But for some reason or another, we got a little wealth. We got a little money. We got a little prestige. We got a little thing, and we pulled away from that. We pulled away from the church being the center of our community. We pulled away from the church being the center of what we do. Why we know church is an afterthought. That I go to church if I have time. You know, I go to church if I can find something that is going to tickle my fancy. It's nothing but, I mean, it's to the point now that even the pastors sometimes they're afraid to what? Today that you got the wrong church if you're not going to be challenged. Because God has called me to challenge each and every person that's under our authority. Amen. Each and every person. Why? Because he's holding me accountable for what he's told me to be able to get you to do. See, I'm just in a position of influence. I cannot make anybody do anything. We often have this thing I talk about with my teachers in education. They said that, you know, you can't make you can lead the horse to the water, but you can't make him drink, right? And we often talk about that piece, but I say, you know what? It's not your job to make him drink. Your job is to make him thirsty so he want to drink on his own. Oh, come on, somebody. So my job as an influencer of the culture is to do what? To let you see so that you will make the decision yourself. Because I am a firm believer that everybody likes their own decision. So if I do it because I believe that was my decision to do it, then I'm always going to do what I believe I'm going to do. Why? Because I like my own decision. I haven't met anybody yet who didn't like their own decisions. So my job here is to what? To influence and to be able to speak truth of power and be able to what? Use the anointing that God has given me and my ability to teach and articulate these things in such a way that you will be able to take them and digest them and go in and say, let me think about that. Maybe I will make a different decision because I know more. I know better. I know different. That's what my job is. So no, it's not a glamorous job. No, I'm not very popular. But at the end of the day, as long as I'm doing what God has called me to do, that's all he asked me to do, Brother Gabe. That's all he asked me to do, Sister Rose. Just do what he called me to do. And that way he would give the increase, that he would take care of it, that he would supply my needs. And I'm here to tell you today that he's done just that. He's opened up doors for me. He's supplied my needs. And he's going to supply yours. So we find our churches as what was an institution that we actually learned things from. Why? Because we can trust them. We can't trust the education system now. We even to the point now they don't even let you teach history. You know, there's a new law out in the state of Tennessee. Go ahead, go Google it. Y'all know me. I tell you that it's a new law there now. What, they can't even teach African American history? When African American history is really what? American history. Because what happened, happened. Whether you like it or not, they did it, they did it. So now you eliminate and erase it like it never happened? Come on, somebody. This is the day that we, the Bible said that what, they would have itching ears. So what that means is what? They would disciple and put things in a place so that they can get exactly what they want, how they wanted to do what it is that they want to do, and then walk on with it. It's always interesting to me how the little small groups here are making all the noise. We often say it's the squeaky wheel to get the oil. So what I'm suggesting is believers, we need to stand up and we need to start squeaking a little bit. We need to stand up and we need to start squawking a little bit. But we're so comfortable where we are that we'll sit back and we're scared to say anything because we're scared that we lose our jobs and our homes and our comfort and our way of living. When the Bible has called us what? To be the head and not the tail. He's called us to be above and not beneath God. We'll be what? Winners and conquerors through Christ Jesus. And we see example after example. We see Daniel in the Bible. We see what God did with Moses. Amen. We see what God has done with Isaac and Jacob and all these people who've been called the power. Through what? Through living for him. And they all suffered a little bit. There's no question about that they suffered. But at the end of the day, they won. And I'm here to remind you today, at the end of the day, we still win. So as I go into our subject on today, we've been, like I said, we've been talking about money. So I believe, like I said, God has put me here to be an educator and to be able to talk about some things and be able to explain some things to you. And I bet many of you will walk away today knowing not some of these things. Some of these things we're going to talk about. Amen. And I want to start here with the, open your Bibles to the book of, I lost my book here. I think this is Deuteronomy. This is Chronicles, I think. No, not Chronicles. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter, I think this is 19. Sorry, my notes is gone. But I already have my chapter up. And listen to this. What? Know ye that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify him in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. All right, we're going to go to Leviticus. I ain't got none of my chapter and verses. Leviticus 27 and 30. 27 and 30, and it says this. And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or whether the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem out his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock, even though whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. All right. And then I have Deuteronomy 14, 28 and 29. And it says this. In the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thy increase the same year, and shall lay in upon up with thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part of no inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hand which thou doest. If I was going to use for a subject on this morning, I want to tell you this. You are the owner of nothing. You are the owner of nothing. Tax and tithe. You are the owner of nothing, tax and tithe. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you right now. Lord, I ask that you help us, Lord Jesus, to be able to articulate, Lord Jesus, this message in such a way, oh God. Lord Jesus, that it be marrow, Lord Jesus, and meat to our bodies, oh God. Lord Jesus, that it strengthen us and keep us, oh God. That even if we don't like it, oh God, even if it challenges us in some areas, oh God, help us, Lord Jesus, to learn and understand and go forth, Lord. Let me thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus. We honor you and we praise your name, Lord, for we know this one thing, we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. So as I look at this message here, I know these are two of the things that seem like almost people really do hate. When we talk about their money, when we talk about people's money, you know, when you want to get somebody stirred up, you talk about two things. You talk about their family and you talk about their money. Most people, if you talk about their family or you talk about their money, you're going to have a fight on your hands. And I know that. So, you know, it's always a very interesting space. And when God was giving me this message and this teaching to be able to share with you, I was like, Lord, is this, you sure this is what you want, oh God? Because I don't know exactly how this may be, or Lord, how can I really perform this or be able to give this out to your people, God? And he had to remind me that it's not me that do anything, but it's him that anoints me to be able to speak through him. Amen. So here we want to talk about tax and tithe. Tax and tithe, tax and tithe, tax and tithe. These are two of the things that people almost notoriously come to hate. In fact, some people see them both being one and the same. When we think about a tax, what is a tax? A tax by definition is simply this, and I'll read it to you verbatim. A tax by definition is a sum of money demanded by a government for a support of the specific facilities or services levied upon incomes, property, sales, property or sales. You know, definition number two, a tax is a burden or charge or obligation, duty or demand. So here we live in a country that here that oddly enough was started because of, from my understanding, the history that they told me, that was my understanding that they wanted to leave because of the taxes that were being leveled by England. That the tax burden was so heavy, that the tax burden was so much that they didn't want to pay them. So therefore they figured out that they would just leave and they would go find another country and go start somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And I find that very interesting that now we live in a country today and people talk about why can't we all get along. Well, the truth of the matter is we're a country of rebels to begin with. Oh, come on, somebody, tell the truth and shame the devil. So like they left because they didn't want to obey the laws of the land. And since they didn't want to obey the laws of the land, what did they do? They got up and they got on their ships and they put some stuff together and they come over here and they found this other place. Mm-hmm. And then they come over here and what do? They didn't even own anything then, but they came in and they conquered the people who were here. Oh, come on, somebody. I know it's about to get tight up in here. I'm just telling you the truth. You can go home, you can look it up, Google it, Encyclopedia Britannica, whatever you got to do. So then they come in, they tell me, and they come in, they conquered the people who were here. And at some point in time, then there was steel taxes being leveled. And they had this thing called a tea party where they threw all the merchandise and things from England, threw it in the water because they didn't want to pay taxes. So here we always had this love-hate affair with taxes. You know, our country was started because they didn't want to pay taxes, right? And you know, the Bible talks about, you know, when Jesus said, give Caesar what belongs to Caesar, even Jesus pays his taxes, right? And, you know, we can say, well, you know, we can get taxation without representation, and people feel like the two are connected, but the truth of the matter is that taxes have always been with us. And the truth of the matter is taxes will always be with us. Mm-hmm. So we find that with tax, you know, it's this thing that I used to often say that my father said was two things in this world you were going to do. You were going to die and you were going to pay your taxes. You know, so much to the so that we have a whole system that's set up around that. Now, let's tell you the truth of the matter is that even though, you know, you don't want to pay taxes, we all benefit from taxes. And that's the critical thing or the interesting thing about it is that we all at some point that the taxes that we pay, we all do benefit from. If you drive on that road out there, you benefit from it. If you ride in a car on that road, you benefit from it. If you ride on a city bus, you know, you don't pay the full fare every time. There's a shared benefit, but you benefit from it. If you have any utility services, you benefit from it. If you even watching me on the internet, I know you say, Pastor, I pay my own internet bill. I promise you there were some taxes involved in that, and you benefit from it. That's why when you see your internet bill, there's this little thing called an FCC tax.
Mm-hmm.
What that is, what? That's the communication tax. And that communication tax is now being taxed back to the what? They help those companies who build the infrastructure to be able to lay down all the internet fiber that you so that you can have the internet. The same with your cell phone. There's not one thing in this earth that you cannot find that they put a tax on. If they can find a way to tax air, they're going to tax that too. In fact, I remember as a boy, you could go to a service station and get air to put in your tire in your car. Sometimes, you know, your tire would deflate or things on the road, and you would need to go to the service station to put a little bit of air in there. But now I can't find one that give it to you for free. Even the one they did have for free at Sheets, they keep breaking down. Right? So we're in a day and time that everything costs you something. And why we as believers don't believe that there's going to be some cost involved? Why? Because I do not own myself. I think about a week or two ago, my wife and I, we rented a car. And we rented, matter of fact, rented two cars back to back. And every time we rented that car, it cost us something. Why? Because the car did not belong to us. So there was a user agreement that we agreed to. And with that user agreement, there was a certain fee and levy that was paid onto that vehicle. And because we paid that vehicle and we paid that fee, then what? We were actually given authority to use that vehicle. So the truth of the matter is that what? There are three kinds of taxes. Three kinds of taxes. Now, I was thinking about this as we went through this. We said tax and tithe because what? There's no choice. Someone said, why don't you say tax or tithe? You know, and I was thinking about it as I thought about it. There is no choice. You have to pay both. They both have their place. Like I said, some would see that tax and tithe, they would say it's the tithe is a tax, and that's not true because I'm going to show to you and I'm going to explain to you both philosophically and spiritually and through the anointing of why they're different and why you must pay both.
Mm-hmm.
So the tax is what? Are levied on us so that what? We can have shared use things in our communities and around us. You know, if you went to school, if you went to college, there's a chance that you got some financial aid. If you got some financial aid in the form of a Pell Grant, thank you, you just got somebody else's taxes. If you went to a public school, your parents did not pay for that school to be built by themselves, amen? So that means what? There was somebody else's taxes, because there are people who don't have children who still pay these taxes. In fact, if you're a single person in this particular country, you typically pay more than people who are married. We talking about taxes. So then here, three kinds of taxes, and I don't know if you knew this or not, but there are three kinds of taxes. The first tax we have is called a regressive tax. A regressive tax. What is a regressive tax? I'm glad you asked. A regressive tax have a tendency that low income pay a high, individuals pay a higher amount of taxes compared to the high income earners using regressive tax system. So what is a regressive tax system? Regressive taxes are simply what? Taxes that you pay on like your property tax. Do you not know and understand in this country that if you own anything, you own it, but you don't own it? Why do you say that? You can have the pink slip on your house. You can have the pink slip on your car. If you do not pay your yearly taxes, they can come and get your stuff. Now, to me, if I own it, that means you cannot ever come and get it under no circumstances. But the truth of the matter is that you own nothing. Don't pay your taxes on it and see what happens. In fact, tell me so I can go in there and pay it, and I'm taking your stuff. So the truth of the matter is, you don't pay your taxes, there is what? A fee that's levied on it. This is called a what? A regressive tax. And it's usually what? Harmful to those who are low income. Why? Because the tax rate on this is kind of like, it's almost like it's flat. So that what? The property tax, the sales tax, you pay the same sales tax. Watch this, you pay the same sales tax on something that the rich person pays. I think here in North Carolina, they might be, 6, almost 7% now? So whether you can afford it or not, you pay 7, and I pay 7, and the next person pays 7, and Jim Goodnight pays 7. Oh, Jim Bidnight, by the way, richest man in North Carolina, SAS Institute. Right? So everybody pays the same amount, but it depends. But if you don't have a whole lot and you got to pay the same tax rate, then what? You get hit hard. You understand what I'm saying? Regressive tax. In fact, they call a regressive tax sometimes can be called a sin tax. S-I-N. Sin tax. And sin tax is on what? Commodities. What do you mean on commodities? Commodities such as things like cigarettes and alcohol and all these other kind of things. That's what they call a sin tax. See, I bet you didn't know all these taxes existed. But I'm going to break them down for you because I want you to be clear on this. Amen? Amen. All right, so then we go on and there's another tax called a proportional tax. What is a proportional tax? A proportional tax or a flat rate system tax is where the system assesses the same tax rate on everyone regardless of income or wealth. Okay? What do you mean by this? That the tax is what? The system is meant to create an equality between marginal tax rates. So if you're in a certain rate, then like everybody will pay the same. And now, there are a couple of states that actually subscribe to this. As of January 2021, there was Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Massachusetts, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Utah. So if you ever look at your taxes on your check, when you get your paycheck, go check it out. We have a flat rate system tax here in North Carolina. No, whether you think that's good or bad, it's indifferent. I'm not here to argue that, but I'm here to what? Educate. So a proportional tax is based on what? A flat rate, everybody pays the same. So therefore what? The rich can continue to get richer and the poor can continue to get poorer. Why? Because they pay the same. Well, let me break this down to you. So if I owe $20, Dr. Goodnight owes $20 too. Remember, Dr. Goodnight is the billionaire that lives here in North Carolina. Certainly, he can pay $20 before I can pay $20. But if we being equal, then he would pay $22. And so I'm so glad that the Bible never talks about us working off equality. It really don't. It talks about equity. And what equity says is that I meet you where you are, and according to where you are, then that brings you up to equality. That's what equity does. Meaning that what? If I make 10 times more, if Dr. Goodnight makes 10 times more than I make, then what? I'm levied against, based on where I am and to be fair, be fair to me. Some say that's not fair. Then that means you just need water and you need to make more. I'm not here to argue that point. I'm just here to educate so you can argue that point on your own. Okay? All right. So then the next part of this is progressive tax. And progressive tax sounds just like what it sounds. A progressive tax. Taxes assessed under a progressive system are based on the taxable amount of an individual's income. So the more money you make, the more they tax. The more you make, the more they tax. So the United States federal income tax system is a progressive tax. So watch this. So here in North Carolina, we have two different tax systems we work off of. We have the federal and you have the state. So the state tax system here is flat. So in North Carolina, they say, make all the money you can make. You ain't gonna pay no more than this percentage. Interesting, right? But then you have the federal government that says, okay, but when you start to make more, I'm gonna tax you more. Okay? So what? One is, they say, is an incentive for you to make more. The other one is a incentive, right? So North Carolina's flat rate tax system, they would say, the argument is that you can make as much as you want to make. You just don't pay your one little fair share and you can go on and do whatever you want to do. Versus the federal one says that, okay, if you start making more, then that means you're going to have to give a little bit more up. These are the three tax systems that we work under. Now put a pin in that. Let's go to the other side of this argument. So that's what we have on the one hand. On the other hand, let's talk about tithe. What is a tithe? By definition, a tithe is the tenth part of an agricultural produce or personal income set apart as an offering to God for the works of mercy or the same amount regarded as the obligation Some say it's a tax to support the church, priesthood, or the likelihood. A tax, I mean, or a special levy, or equating to 1/10. All right, let's talk about what the Bible talks about in tithe. We'll go to, I read in Leviticus. Remember in Leviticus, he told them to what? Take all their seed and all their increase and all this, and to give what, 1/10 of that unto the Lord. Now, I know this particular subject, you know, there's some who don't believe in tithing. I believe if we're going to teach tithing, we might as well teach it right. That you ought to what? Tithe. If you tithe, you tithe off of your gross. Mm-hmm. I know that don't sit well with folks. But the gross. Why? And I'll never forget, somebody had to explain this to me one day. It was that what you agreed to work for, what you agreed to have, the Bible said, for all your increase. Some would say, well, Pastor, I did not get the increase because the government took it. Mm-mm, that's not true. Depending on your tax rate, you're probably going to get some of that back at the end of the year. Depending on how much you make through the rest of the year. But the truth of the matter is that if you agree to work for $20 an hour, then you agree to work for $20 an hour. So now what? That is what your increase is. Now, if the government has to take its part of it, then so be it. So does it end up being at the end of the day, maybe you end up paying more than that? Yes. In fact, it's biblically shown that Jews themselves end up paying about 23% of their income. About 23%. So if you're truly doing, if you're truly doing the 10%, you're looking at about 23 to 27% of your income if you do the math. That's because what? The state or the tax has to take their part. So now we know that tax is what? For shared services. So if you don't want to pay that tax, then don't get on any of the services. Get off the internet, get off free TV, get off utilities, get off the roads, don't have any protection. When somebody breaks in your home, don't call the police. When your home is on fire, don't call the fire station. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm just telling the truth. I mean, don't be mad with me. See, these are things we're not thinking about because all we see is what we want. And this is what the Bible told us, what? Don't love that stuff. Because if you love it, then you will always be making decisions what to protect it. Yes, you need it. Yes, we have to have it. Yes, it's a tool, but it's not what makes the world go around. Because see, the truth of the matter is that firefighter or that cop, they risk their life on the poor person just as much as they do the rich person. Now, some will argue, say, no, here come the rich person faster. Well, why would that be the case when he's going to make the same money anyway? Ain't like after he say the rich person don't, they give him a tip. Maybe they do. But more likely, they don't. Are y'all with me? I ain't losing nobody, right? So what we find here is that what? The tithe is different than the tax. The tax is something that's levied so that we can have all these shared resources. Because the truth of the matter is, I cannot afford any of these things by myself. Do you not know your insurance? You can look at your insurance policy as a tax. Think about it for a moment. You pay insurance. You pay your car insurance. Some of you pay monthly. Some of you pay every 6 months, whatever the case may be. You pay that, right? And maybe you need it and maybe you don't. But when you need it, you want to be able to go in and redeem it, and then they do whatever it is that they said they were going to do. In most cases, they do, but after that, they might drop you, right? But they do, okay? What you're doing is you're putting your money into a pool with all the other people who put their money into that pool, so that when something happens, there's enough money left there to be able to take care of your situation. Are y'all with me? That's how that works, okay? So insurance works as a pool resource. Our tax system works as a pool resource. Again, I'm not advocating for either one, I'm just educating, telling you how it works. All right, so now let's look at the tithe side of this. The tithe, what? The tithe is purely, solely a spiritual thing. What I do when I'm saying I'm tithing is saying, look, God, number one, I acknowledge you as being my provider. Y'all know at this church, I don't bust people about not paying their tithe. You don't pay, that's on you. I don't have to beat you up about it. That's between you and your God. You think you're getting away with it? Go ahead. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes, though.
I know Monday when they teach them time and they go right to Malachi and then they start talking about, will a man rob God and all this stuff? Yes, he will rob God. See it every day. All the time. They rob each other. They have robbed God too. So I ain't got to go in there and go teach that. I ain't going to beat them out of the head. But my job is what? To give you the information and educate you, and you make the decision for yourself. I'm not going to scare anybody in the pantry. I'm not going to sit here and tell you all these things going to happen to you. The book says it. But if you don't believe the book, then what? We don't have a reason to even be talking about it anyway. So what does he say? He says, give this. Why? Because we as human beings have this thing. We have a tendency to think we did it ourselves. This is why I start out with what? You own nothing. You own nothing. The Bible says that we don't even own our own bodies. The bodies were what? They were bought with a price. And that price was what? Jesus' blood on Calvary. So you don't even own you. I'm talking about own something else. Do you not find it interesting that we don't even own ourselves? So how you gonna own something else and you don't even own yourselves? All this stuff is rented space. We own nothing. We own nothing. And the sooner you get that in your mind, the sooner you get that in your heart and your spirit and know that you own nothing, then the better off you're gonna be, because then you'll start looking at things a little differently. You'll start trying to put all your investment in stuff that you don't own. You'll start trying to put all your money in times and stuff you don't own. Are y'all with me? Are you understanding what I'm saying to you this morning? I'm trying to teach you, because I'm trying to get you all to move from this money-hungry thing, because what? You don't own this stuff anyway. Get behind on it and let's find out if you own it. So what God does is what? He says what? Pay this tithe. Why? Because he has to keep us honest in this space. Because some of us believe that we created it. Some of us believe that we did it. Some of us believe that we put it together, that we got it going on. And as soon as he touched that, then we find out different. So this is what a thing to say, look, God, could I use this extra 10%? Absolutely. I got other things I need to do, because I need to pay Caesar's tax. However, by giving this to you, I do not do it myself. I tell people, you know, when my wife and I first got married and we was financially doing things and we struggled a little bit, there was times that we just paid tithe and gave our offers, and I didn't know how it was going to work out. And you know what? God always made a way. Somebody gave him something for some reason the bill won't do that month, or whatever the case may be. God had a way of working it out. I'm a mathematician by trade. I do numbers for a living. And I tell you, I sit there and I'll write that budget out. I'll add this stuff up and I'll see that I'll be short, but not one time. And over almost 20 years of being married, we've been late on any. That's God. And I'm telling you, the numbers didn't add up. But somehow he made a way. And what that does is it keeps me informed. It keeps me in connection. It keeps me in contact to say, look, you don't make your way, Peter, but I make it for you. All of a sudden, here comes a job that came open. All of a sudden, here comes another financial situation that came open to be able to help bless me, to be able to do what I need to do and go on to the next level. So what God wants to know is, do you serve manna or do you serve him? But you cannot serve both. Some of us need to do better in that area of our tithe and our offerings. Some of us, we know we're not doing exactly what we want to do. You think you're getting away, and you might be getting away for the moment, but I'm here to tell you that payday is coming out the wire. Payday is coming out the wire. That just like the Bible said, when you stack up these prayers and things, and then what, no good thing he's going to hold from you? It's the same way with that. You keep holding out on him, thinking you get away, and then you wonder why you're sick in your body. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm not equating it just to that way. The Bible said that he will what? Rebuke the devourer for your sake. Which means that when sickness comes, when danger comes, when turmoil comes, that what, he will stand in the gap and say, no, 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 no. Why? Because they acknowledge me as their provider. They acknowledge me as their help. They acknowledge me as their strength. And because they acknowledge me, then I show up in all my glory. I show up in all my strength. I show up in all my majesty. And I stand there in the gap and say, no, you're not today, devil. You obey me. Do you see how this thing works? So, you know, so our gift to God, he just asked for 10%. That's 10% percentage. which means equal giving. I mean, not equal giving, but what? Equal sacrifice. That means he doesn't overly tax me. He only, I mean, tax me being like pressure, that he only asks according to whatever I have. Now, mind you, a tax didn't care what you got. The rule is the rule. If the tax is everybody pay $5,000, you can pay $5,000, but you got $5,000 or not. Or they come in to get everything and come to throw you in jail too for failed payment. We see them putting superstars in jail for this stuff. Y'all remember Wesley Snipes? Remember he was a big time actor in the early 90s? Yeah, Wesley went to jail because he didn't think he had to pay them taxes. He was everybody's favorite. One of my favorite too. Thought he was a phenomenal actor. Had some great movies. But he tried to hide the tax man. What happened? They came for him. It doesn't matter what you got. They want their money, they come and get it. So we have to pay them what they owe. So why do we not be willing to give God what he asked for? Because he's the one that's going to sustain your body. He's the one that heals you. He's the one that gives you what? The knowledge to be able to get wealth.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that give you that looks out for you and takes care of you and all your needs and all your situations and supplies you. When you can't call on nobody else, you can call on him. When you can't call on that cop, you can call on him. When you can't call on the fireman, you can call on him. When you can't get your hands on a doctor, you can call on him. And what you find is every single time he's left, he's always on time. And that's all he asked of us is that what? Give me this thing just to make sure that you acknowledge me. I don't need what you got. I got the cattle of 1,000 hills. But this is to acknowledge me. Now watch this. The next part I read in Deuteronomy was what? He said, bring these tithes in. And these tithes are to do what? Now you are to use them. Watch this. To support the ministry. And this is the other part now. See, this is the part where people get off in. Support the ministry. That's all you ever hear. Is support the ministry. What does that include? He said, the widows.
Mm-hmm.
The fatherless. Those children. And see, this is the part where we as the church get off. Yes, you know, and this is why I believe that most people have a problem paying it, because they believe that it's just a bunch of preachers up here getting rich. And in some cases, that is probably the honest God truth. There are some churches around here who ask you for a W-2. You'll never get that from the safe house as long as I'm sitting up here. I don't care what you make. If you won't pay, that between you and your God. Because he said then the curse would be on part of you, and I don't want nothing to do with your curse. But I know what he told us to do. And the truth of the matter is, we went and I looked at research and said only about 2.5% of the Christian population actually even pay tithe anyway. And they wonder why we got all hell breaking loose in our world. And they wonder why all things are going the way that they're going. Because we don't even do what God told us to do. He said if you didn't do it, then it was going to be a curse. So now you want to tell the 2.5% of all Christian believers only do it, only pay the tithe. Then how do you figure anything that was going to be great? Because we got it all wrong. We got it all backwards. We're not even doing what we're supposed to be doing. And we're going to ask God to do his part? 2.5%. That means about, in our church, they'd be like, what? 3 people paying church. Out of 100 people, only about 3 people going to pay. That's terrible. But yet we bleed God. We run around. No, bleed God with your pocketbook too. And away with that stuff. People talk all day, but then you ask them to put their money where their mouth is, and we find something different. We'll find out what you really do believe, but then you'll be the first one to call on the priest to tell them to come up here and pray for you when you're sick and you don't even support the ministry yourself because you don't believe it, but you believe it when you need it. You believe it when it gets to the point. You believe it when you need it. You want to go call that cop, and that point somebody about to break in your house, but you didn't want to pay your taxes. You want to call that firefighter when your house is on fire, but you didn't want to pay your taxes. You complain about the road having potholes in it, but you don't want to pay your taxes. But then at the same time, you ask the God to protect you and keep you. And he already told you that, what, you didn't belong to yourself. So therefore, what, there's a price that was paid, and now you have to pay a rental fee. And just like I put insurance on my cars and everything that we run on, then because look, we don't even know what's going on. This is me acknowledging God. Look, God, I don't know what's down that road. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen to us financially. Lord, I don't know which way you're going to open up for us or which way is not going to open up for us. But Lord, I trust you. So Lord, here is what I have when I have it. And Lord Jesus, it's not too much. Why? Because it's only based on what I have when you gave me, oh God, and you know the increase that you gave me. And since this is the increase I have, Lord, I give it unto you. And I'm here to tell you today that I'm a living witness of that. So this is why I tell believers, God got to bless us. Why? Because he has to have witness here in the earth. I can't sit up here and teach you and tell you that I've been a toddler since I was 15 years old and I don't have nothing to show for it. Yes, it takes some time, but I've been doing this since I was 15 years old. I can count on one hand how many times I missed in 15 since I was 15. I am 43 right now. And I'm here to tell you all today that God has been faithful to Peter. And he's faithful to you if you'll do your part. God is not my partner. He's my God. I just do what he tells me to do. He doesn't need my finance, but it's him. It's me who honoring him to know that, Lord, I do not do this myself. Does it get tough to pay that sometime? Absolutely. Because I done got myself in some things. They got myself overtaxed.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's difficult for me to pay because I owe this one, I owe that one. And what I've done is I've not used some discipline and I overextended myself financially. Yeah, I did. But if I live within what God has given me, he said that what? If I live within that, then he's up to what? Give me increase. This is why I keep a good job. I do believe. You ain't messing with my faith. This is why I believe that, you know, if at 40, 43, I've not had any major issues in my body. It's not because I eat right, because my diet is horrible. And I got to get better. It ain't because I've said all the right things there, but a couple of times I probably should have been fired. But you know, at the end of the day, they say something about him. It's something that God touches their heart. Something about this thing called favor. Remember, favor is called access. That God gives me access. And it's not because I'm the best looking, because I'm the most talented, but it's because of God's hand that's upon my life. Some of you guys have God's hand upon your life. They open up doors for you, do things for you. It's not because you're the best. But it's because of his hand and his favor. And the Bible says that, well, he would give us this favor. So tithing is not a tax. A tax is a tax. It's for shared goods and services. But the tithe is strictly for spiritual to acknowledge God. It's a form of worship. It's saying that God, the one thing that I think I control, I'm going to give it to you. The one thing that I think I got a handle on, I'm going to give it to you. So watch this. This is what we as preachers and ministries mess up, and I'm going to be done. I'm done beating this. He said it's also for what? The widows and the children and the fatherless children and all this. So what I've seen with modern day ministry is that we get to a point that we spend so much time taking care of everything in the ministry that we forget that other part. Especially in the black church. This is not about the preacher. Put his butt on a salary. Give him a percentage, whatever you got to do. Because there's another part of this that's supposed to be doing some other work. Now watch this. If you go back and you read it, it says within what? Their gates, which means in reach before outreach. I have no problem with outreach. We'll help anybody we can help. But if I have people inside our own church, we have people inside the safe house that's suffering, how dare I go out and take care of them before we take care of us? It's the same thing like on the airplane. When I was on the airplane last week, they said, make sure that you what? You put on your mask first before you try to assist somebody else. So what good would it be if I'm sitting up here having this person put on that mask because they can't breathe, and then at some point I choke out in the middle of me trying to help, now both of us are going to be gone. So if I have people in my church and we know about it and they made it clear and they made it aware and they're a part of the congregation and they're giving and they're sacrificing, they're doing the best they can, I am spiritually, by biblically, obligated to help them. Yet, we see people sometimes in our own churches that people don't even help them within their own church. I tell people that real clear. If they've been here and they've been tithing and they've been blessing, and if their time of need comes, that's what we're here for. Because if you keep living long enough, it's going to happen to you too. We all, at some point in time, things happen. I don't know nobody who prayed to be, let your husband die. Let my wife die. So I can just take all this debt and step by myself. I don't know nobody who prayed that prayer. Let me just be a birth all these children without parents and all this stuff. You know nobody who just praying that stuff? No. But things do happen. Right? And so therefore what? God knew things happened. So he already set a system up in place. That what? We are to help them and take care of them and bless them. It don't mean that they just don't do anything. Because see, at the same time, why, you know, you helping that mother out, she might be the one on her knees keeping your church together. Come on, somebody. At the same time, while you doing this and they have this, it's something else that they bring to the table. So in reach before outreach. So he said, take care of those within your gates. If they're part of your congregation, they're part of your membership, they're part of your circle, they're part of your, take care of family first. And if they've been taken care of, then you can outreach and you can what? Help somebody else. The difference between tax and tithe. Tithe is what? For the edification of the body. That he gives us that, you know, if it's financial resources, in that time it was agricultural resources, which means that they brought what? 10% of the things they brought in from their field, whether it was corn, cherries, oranges, whatever the case may be. And then the priest, what? The priest would take a portion of that to take to his house to be able to feed him to the widows and the children and those who were fatherless and the orphanages and all these places. If that was true for the agriculture piece, it's also true for the financial money piece. Pastor, stop being greedy. Do your part. It's biblical and you know it too. Don't put yourself in such a situation that you got to have everything. Because that's not biblical. Fine, it's there. It's in Deuteronomy. We already talked about it. So what? So this is why we got to work everything in proportion. So maybe you're doing it in thirds. I don't know how you do it. I can't tell you how to run your church. I can't tell you how to run your family. But I know what the word of God says, that if you do these things, you pay Caesar what belongs to Caesar. I don't like taxes just as much as you do, but I do like riding that road. I do like to know if I need the police, they might, they'll answer the call and come do what they're supposed to do. I do like that I can pick up the phone and call the firefighter if I need them. I do like that I can pick up the phone and call the paramedics if I do need them. I do like to be able to watch the internet sometimes and be on, watch TV and use my phone and all these other things, because all this is stuff that I cannot afford to do alone. I get it. I ask that you be mindful of these things. But at the same time, do remind that what? That what you pay to God is not a tax. Because see, the thing about tax is, if you don't get it, they're going to come get it. Or they're going to come get you. But if you don't pay your tithe, that's one of those ones that you can be working and thinking you didn't did everything you're supposed to do. And here it comes. And you be wondering, Lord, where did this come from? And all that stuff is stacked up at the time. And God got, he keeping notes. And that's the thing about it. We don't serve a God who just want to come get you. But the Bible says like this, and I'm done. Says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Sin has a wage. You keep living in it. Keep dodging and dodging. Oh, I'm only going to pay this little bit. I'm going to pay that little bit. Like I tell you, I didn't talk about it, and I'm done with it. Now you know, and now the obligation is on you to follow through. The obligation now is on you to do better. You have the capacity to do better. We have the capacity to do better. Why? So that it'll be me in this house. So that when your time of need comes and say, Pastor, I need such and such. Something's happened, this and this. We have a struggle check. There it is. Why? Because we have a benevolence fund. And those who've been in this church, y'all know that this church, we've been very generous to our members. Amen. Why is that? Why? Because Pastor wants to do it right. I don't even take anything, even though I have the right to. Don't take anything. Why? Because I wanted to make sure that this church and this body grows so that we are doing things right and in order. So whoever comes behind me would have a thing that a foundation has been set, that this thing is right and in order. And that's a way that God has set for things to be done. And we're going to do things the right way at this church. Not that we're perfect people. You're not looking at a perfect man. You're looking at a man with a lot of flaws and a lot of imperfections. But for one thing, we're going to get that part right. That part we're going to take care of. We take care of our people. We take care of each other. And in turn, they take care of God's church. And we go on. And we learn to live within our means. We learn to make budgets. And we learn to go forward. What? This is the education that we used to get. These are the things we used to find out. But now we know this last generation, these were children raising children. And we have a children raising children. Neither one of them knew what to do. So now what? That mantle has now fallen upon the churches. Those who want to stand up and be accounted for. Those who want to stand up and teach their people that, yes, maybe you should have got this at home from your daddy, but he wasn't there. Maybe you should have got this home from your mom, but she wasn't there. But now it's incumbent upon us to be able to do this. So those who desire to know, those who desire to do better, those who desire to go to the next level, if you desire, I say come. And if you don't, that's fine. That's your choice. He's always given us this thing of choice. God bless you all on this day. I hope that this message has been found you where you are. I hope that you walk away with some things to put in your own life to find and say, look, Lord, I'm going to do better. Don't just say I'm going to do better. Do better. Your life depends upon it. If there be any at this time that needs prayer, or who